The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's nice to be back with you after a nice three-day weekend. Of course, we had Mr. Locher, Andrew Locher, subbing in yesterday, so the Trumpet Daily continued on with its normal Monday schedule. But for those of you in the United States, Monday was Labor Day, so quite a few of you had the day off. I think at headquarters there was the big Labor Day picnic on Sunday. So hopefully you got some rest and relaxation and you're ready to roll for this week ahead. Speaking of Mr. Locher, by the way, a few of you emailed last night. I think the podcast was posted a little bit later than usual, but it is up there now if you'd like to see his program from yesterday. Over the weekend here in the UK, our Key of David program, The Haughtiness of Men Shall Be Made Low, that brought in 183 requests, almost twice as many as the previous week, which, of course, advertised the correspondence course. Every time we promote the correspondence course, every time I plead with viewers to subscribe or to enroll in the correspondence course, it never does produce that many results. But as Sam and I were saying, of the 85 or so that requested the course, if, you know, 5, 10, 15 of them, if they stay with it all the way through to the end of that course, 36 lessons, well, they're really going to be educated in the ways of God. In any event, The Haughtiness of Men Shall Be Made Low. I forget which booklets we offered for that, but we got a nice request or a nice number of requests for that one. We also, by the way, I didn't have the radio duties yesterday, so we taped a couple of Key of David programs for here in the UK. So those will be going up here in the next couple weeks as well. Some key dates in the history of God's work over the last several days. Armstrong Auditorium just passed its 10th anniversary. The dedication events from September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. September 5th was the grand opening, featuring Felix Mendelssohn's Elijah. September 5th, also, by the way, I had more, quite a bit more on that last year with the 15th anniversary, but that was the day that my mother died, so now it's 16 years, which is hard to believe as well. And then as far as another date is concerned, today, September the 8th, 2000, that's when my father broke ground on the property in Edmond. 20 years ago today, we had the wide open fields, remember? And then my father in that ceremony, just on the, what would it be, the south side of Spurlin Lake, where he shoved the shovel into the ground, and thus began the work for God's headquarters, the Hall of Administration, the field house, the mail processing center, and of course, really the crown jewel now, is that Armstrong Auditorium, which we just passed the 10th anniversary for that. So 20 years of development on God's campus. It's amazing how fast the years go by. We're moving up to our 6 full years of taking possession of the property here at Edstone. And this property, too, has gone through quite a few changes over the past 6 years. Well, I want to start with a few verses, these two in particular that I read over the weekend. It's just amazing to me how many, we're very familiar. If you follow this program, you know all about Revelation 12 and verse 9, how that Satan has deceived the whole world. The emphasis there is on the entirety. The entire world is deceived. And Herbert Armstrong used to say that that includes the world of religion. They don't have the answers. Certainly the world of education doesn't. Governments, have they solved the problems of this world? Well, it's not like Revelation 12:9 is standing alone. There's so many other verses that just talk about the widespread deception and evil. And just the fact that, even as Mr. Locher covered yesterday, this world, as Paul described in Galatians 1:4, it is an evil world. Consider 1 John 5. Let's read verse 19. It says, "And we know that we are of God." That's speaking of those few. The true church is called the little flock. It's just a handful of people. It says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." The whole world lies in wickedness. John doesn't say part of it or just one sector. He says all of it, just like he did in Revelation. Verse 20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Over and again, it refers to God and Jesus Christ as having the truth. And yet, look at how quick men are to reject it. I was reading this this biography on Thomas Jefferson yesterday. I think it was written back in the early 80s, so it's not just super new, but it's not like it's, you know, ancient either. I mean, it goes way back before Satan being cast down and all that. But anyway, it was talking about Jefferson and some of the things that he wrote on the notes of Virginia, something like that. It's his classic work. I should know it more, I suppose. But in any event, he's talking in there about God's creation. And this author just basically pointed out in passing, he's heaping praise on Jefferson all through the book, of course. But in passing, he just basically makes the point about how ignorant Jefferson was to hold on to this belief that God created the universe, that God brought all of this into existence by his power and might. Here he is, this historian, just so quickly dismissing what Jefferson thought as if he's sort of on the level of God. I mean, he knows. He's educated, right? Thomas Jefferson wasn't. I just thought as I read by that, the arrogance to not even allow for the fact that they might be wrong. Why is that? Well, the Bible says that the world is full of wickedness, that the world is full of deceit. And 2 Timothy 3 in verse 13 says that this evil is just going to wax worse and worse and worse. And so we've got to get into some of these prophecies. There's good news. The good news is in Jesus Christ, his Father, God the Father, the true God, as it says in 1 John 5. In them is truth. That's where the solutions lie to the many problems we're seeing in the world today. One more verse here before we get into the news. It says in Ephesians 2:2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Here Paul is talking about people coming out of the world and into the church. And he says to them, "In the past, you walked according to the course of this world." This world is on course to destruction. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21 and 22. Great tribulation, and it's going to get so bad that were it not for God's supernatural intervention, we would have had it. That's the course we're on. And so Paul says to these brethren, "In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's the devil. So the devil is the god of this world. And he has this world on course to destruction. And that's what these verses are saying. America really and truly is under attack. Just like my father wrote back in 2013. We are under assault. We are under attack. The attack is from within at the moment. And soon the attacks are going to come from without as well. This story that broke Thursday night on Friday's show, I had a bunch of other news, but it didn't really grab the attention of any of our news gatherers. And I read a little bit about it, or at least some of the headlines, and just thought, well, this is so preposterous for Donald Trump, who's done all these things for the military, for our vets. And the Atlantic comes out with this story claiming that Donald Trump has called America's war dead suckers and losers. I just thought, well, this is so preposterous. It's not even worth covering, is it? And yet you look at the way the major media ran with it. Well, they had this one pro-Biden group, Vote Vets. They were ready with this slick commercial. It came out within hours of the Atlantic piece being posted on Thursday evening. Within hours. And they've got interviews with all these vets that are just, they're quoting from the Atlantic story. And they are irate. They are upset with Donald Trump. Of course, Joe Biden, he was upset as well. He came out with his statement right away saying, oh, it was disgusting what President Trump said. It was sick. It was deplorable. Absolutely damnable, said Joe Biden. He said he's never been so disappointed. I think he told another reporter he's never been so angry. And here it's based on, this story is based on four anonymous sources. And over the weekend, it was thoroughly debunked. Even Jeffrey Goldberg, the author, is now walking it back about the helicopter flight 2 years ago to that U.S. cemetery in France. The weather, the near hurricane conditions, practically. And President Trump couldn't make it to a ceremony because of the weather. The helicopter was grounded. And it would have been too difficult to try to drive him there. There wouldn't have been the security and such. And so here comes Jeffrey Goldberg. And they said this 2 years ago. His enemies, Donald Trump's enemies. Well, he didn't want to go to the cemetery because he didn't want to get his hair wet. You know, his hair is important. It was just a vanity thing. And then now Goldberg takes it a step further saying, well, yeah, actually, Donald Trump was there telling his advisors, well, why would I go to this cemetery anyway? Those people are losers. They're losers. That's what he supposedly said. They're suckers forever joining the military. It's just incredible. The attacks never end. And of course, the Atlantic, wow, they're getting tons of hits, right? Jeffrey Goldberg, he's all over the news networks. Brian Stelter was talking all about it on Sunday. They're doing everything they can to keep this story going, even as it's being thoroughly debunked. This is from the piece itself, Goldberg's, posted on Thursday night. It says, the president has repeatedly disparaged the intelligence of service members and asked that wounded veterans be kept out of military parades. This is according to multiple anonymous sources. Here's some of the statements from Goldberg's piece. Trump's seeming contempt for military service. Have you noticed this? All these ceremonies, all these vets that he clears the way for. Did you hear his speech at Normandy? A couple of years ago, I guess it was just a year ago, the 75-year anniversary. Powerful speech. Evidently, according to Goldberg, he hates those kinds of ceremonies. Oh yeah, he has contempt for the military. Goldberg said the president believes that nothing is worth doing without the promise of monetary payback. And that talented people who don't pursue riches are losers. So if you're in the military, you're a loser because you're not getting a lot of money as payback. And then this one, I love this one. He says, according to sources with knowledge of the president's views, he seems to genuinely not understand why Americans treat former prisoners of war with respect. He just can't understand it. Why would America treat their war dead with respect? Donald Trump can't understand it. He just genuinely can't understand. As I say, preposterous. You can't honestly believe a word of this. It's not that this president hasn't made mistakes. Of course he's made mistakes. Of course he's said things that are controversial. But this is his strongest base of support. And so here are the Democrats, absolutely desperate. And in my mind, just in thinking about it over the weekend, you hear about the October surprises. you know, the big surprise that your opponent waits and waits and waits until 2-3 weeks before the election. And I think this was their October surprise. I think they had to use it early. Again, the videos were all set. The networks were ready to run with it. Joe Biden came out with the statement right away. The October surprise coming in September. It's been such a bad few weeks. Ever since the end of the RNC, the convention, and all the heat that the Democrats are taking because of the riots and the rising approval ratings, among the black community for Donald Trump. And then you had the disastrous week last week for Nancy Pelosi and really all of the Democrats as they were exposed for the do as I say, not as I do. Statements, dictates, regulations. She had the salon visit. Every other salon is closed, but yet they open it up for her. And by the way, there was a story about gyms, government gyms being wide open to politicians. San Francisco gym owners, they're livid because their gyms have to be shut down. But if you're in government buildings, if you got gym equipment, if you're a government employee, well, you can go to the gym, of course. Of course you can. People are furious at this double standard. Do as I say, but not as I do. They get to go work out. You know, de Blasio got up and said, well, I've got to work out because I'm responsible to make decisions for you, the little people. So you stay home, don't you work out, I'll work out. Just crazy. They're desperate, you see, for a change in the narrative because it's going bad for them. And so here they come with their October surprise. That's my opinion. Here they come with the October surprise, and it is so preposterous. Donald Trump just wildly telling all of his advisors as if this would take 2 years to get out. They're suckers. They're losers. And for 2 years, evidently, four anonymous people just sat on it. Wasn't a big deal. Didn't really amount to much. But now, 60 days before the election, oh yes, this is the scandal of scandals. Joe Biden's never been so angry. America under attack. And somehow, some way, you have Donald Trump still rising in the polls, incredibly. Victor Davis Hanson said, it's no wonder that one of Joe Biden's largest campaign contributors, billionaire Lauren Jobs of the Apple fortune, who owns most of the Atlantic. She owns most of the Atlantic. That would be the wife of the late Steve Jobs. It says, had the former Obama administration megaphone, Jeffrey Goldberg. He sat down with Obama, it seemed like every 2.5 days for a big, just glowing piece of the Obama administration. Oh, if Barack Obama wanted to get a message out there with just softball questions right and left, Jeffrey Goldberg was the go-to man. Oh, yes. It says, Goldberg... Just back up, it says, they had the former Obama administration megaphone, Jeffrey Goldberg, exhume a 2-year-old and long ago refuted charge. Some of this nonsense came up 2 years ago. Yeah, he couldn't go to the cemetery because of his hairdo. And 2 years on, here we are again. It's like they're running out of scandals. That's what Victor Davis Hanson says. Now they're down to suckers and losers. To his strongest base of support. Desperate. Here's how the New York Times on Saturday, very serious. President Trump confronted a political crisis on Friday that could undercut badly needed support in the military community. He badly needs this support. In fact, it's the Democrats who badly need it and any support it can get. It says, Mr. Trump, who has long portrayed himself as a champion of the armed forces and has boasted of rebuilding a military depleted after years of overseas wars, came under intense fire from Democrats. That's right. And other opponents. That would be Democrats and their allies, the media, never Trumpers, and so on. who said a report in The Atlantic demonstrated his actual contempt for those who serve their country in uniform. And you know what jumps out, just like it always does, is that they themselves are guilty of exactly what they're accusing others of. These are Barack Obama, John Kerry, Bill Clinton. You want to talk about contempt for the military? You want to talk about contempt for the veterans? And here they're saying that it's Donald Trump. Here's how the president responded to these scurrilous accusations on Friday, clip one.
And to think that I would make statements negative to our military and our fallen heroes when nobody's done what I've done with the budgets, with the military budgets, with getting pay raises for our military. It is a disgraceful situation.
And then this next clip. Listen to the reporter as he, it's not a matter of, is this true? Is this not true? I noticed that the sources are anonymous. Are you rejecting this source? No. It's a reporter saying, don't you owe an apology to the military? It's just accepted. This is the truth. If the media say it, it's true. If Jeff Goldberg says it, it's true. If Donald Trump says it, it's false. That's been their rules of journalism for 4 years now. Here's the exchange with the reporter, clip two.
Sir, do you need to apologize to service members and veterans?
No, it was a fake story written by a magazine that was probably not going to be around much longer. But it was a totally fake story, and that was confirmed by many people who were actually there. It was a terrible thing that somebody could say the kind of things, and especially to me, because I've done more for the military than almost anybody else.
There's the president having to, as per usual, get up and defend himself. Well, it hasn't even just been himself. John Bolton came forward. John Bolton despises President Trump. He was in the room. He traveled with the president to France 2 years ago. He was there when the ceremony was called off because of the weather. He said it never happened. He said he never heard President Trump criticize the military in the way that Jeffrey Goldberg says. And he's not alone. Others have come forward too. And now you've got all these people digging up these old clips of President Trump. He's definitely anti-war. He doesn't want to send the American boys off to war. That's been pretty obvious from the way he campaigns. There's obviously a lot of people at the Pentagon that don't like him. You know, the hawks, the ones that really want to have a war going on just continually. There's a lot of people there that hate him. But he is as popular as ever within the military at large. So here's a statement. This is from 13 years ago. He was being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer, and he was talking about some vets. Jeffrey Goldberg talked in particular about the contempt that the president had for those who were wounded in battle. Listen to the way the president talks about those wounded in battle. This is from 2007, clip three.
On a Monday, I let returning Iraqi injured soldiers come to the premises. The most beautiful people I've ever seen. But they're missing arms and legs. They're with their wives. Sometimes they're with their girlfriends. And the tears are coming down the faces of these people.
There he is describing the wounded vets. Certainly not calling them losers. The statement he made, Goldberg, that he just genuinely, here's Trump, 73 years old, and he just genuinely, he's been an American. he's an American through and through. America first. He's had all these ceremonies with the vets. He's done everything he can to try to help the veteran hospitals that were just a mess. They were in shambles before he came along. But he just genuinely doesn't understand why Americans would have respect and honor for our war dead. America under attack. This is just another chapter of the coordinated. The article's posted, And then here comes these well-produced commercials to attack the president within hours. Yet another attack, a coordinated attack on President Trump from the Democrat media complex. There was a piece in the American Mind today. This is from Claremont Institute, a conservative think tank. But this speaks of the coming coup. We've talked about the coup brought on by impeachment or COVID-19, the way that the Dems have used that, the lockdown, the rioting in the streets. But this article pieces together some pretty interesting and revealing statements that have happened over the last several months. And it says here, I didn't jot down the author, but it says, as if 2020 were not insane enough already, we now have Democrats and their ruling class masters openly talking about staging a coup. You might have missed it. What with the riots, lockdowns, and other daily mayhem we're forced to endure in this, the most wretched year of my lifetime. But it's happening. He calls it the most wretched year of his life. What does the Bible say? And we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. The troubles, the problems, piling high on top of our nations. How are we going to solve this? Well, as I've said before, you've got to give this president some credit for standing up to the mob. But these problems, they run so deep. The evil, the wickedness, the division, the strife, the hatred. How do you solve this unless God doesn't intervene forcefully, as he says that he will? What a wretched year, this author says. It says it started with the military brass quietly indicating that the troops should not follow a presidential order. So he goes back over the summer, the rioting was off and running, and there was talk of the Insurrection Act, you know, president sending in the troops without even the state asking them to come in, which is what he keeps saying they have to do, unless he declares an insurrection, in which case the military can take to the streets. And so the top military brass at the Pentagon, these were people working for President Trump, telling him basically, threatening him, if you do this, we're not going to obey the order. It's basically what our military leaders were saying. And he's bringing these quotes together, these statements together at the American Mind. It says, all this enthused Joe Biden, who threw subtlety to the winds. The former U.S. Senator and Vice President has not once, but not twice, but three times confidently asserted that the military will escort Trump from the White House with great dispatch should the president refuse to leave. It brings up the former Vice President Al Gore. He said the same thing. These are Democrats, top Democrats, talking about the military forcefully removing a president of the United States. That's in the United States of America, just so you know. It says here in this article, so why are the Democrats publicly talking about the conspiracy? Their conspiracy, that is. Because they know that for it to succeed, it must not look like a conspiracy. They need to plant the idea in the public mind. You see, just like Russia, 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 that was a total conspiracy. But they lied. They lied to FISA, then they brought Bob Mueller along to try to cover everything up. You see, it can't look like a conspiracy. It can't look like we're actually spying on our opponents. It can't look like we're actually using the arms of government to spy on American citizens, because that would be a political scandal of epic proportions. That would be a conspiracy. That would be an attempted coup. So they don't want it to look like that. So here they come with all this talk. Yeah, well, he's not going to accept the results of the election. I think the military is going to have to go and forcefully remove him. What are they doing? What are they planning? What are they saying? Well, it says the second part of the plan is either to produce enough harvested ballots, lawfully or not, to tip close a state. So they've got this plan in motion to declare the president as, well, he's not really the valid president. He lost, even if the ballots don't add up. He cheated. Hopefully their ballots will add up. We'll try to harvest as many as we can. says the public preparation for that has also already begun. Streams of stories and social media posts explaining how, while on election night, and we've covered this before, it might look as if Trump won. Remember, the red mirage. It might look like he's winning, but take heart. Hillary Clinton told him, don't you concede. This election may take weeks to figure out. We'll win this with ballot harvesting. We'll win this in the courts. That's the way the top Dems are thinking. It says the third piece is to get the vast and loud Dem left propaganda machine ready for war. You see, they've got to get the media stirred up. And of course, they're not just stirred up. Their contempt, their hatred for this president, it knows no bounds. It says at this point, it's safe to assume that unless President Trump wins in a blowout that can't be overcome by cheating and or denied via the ruling class's massive propaganda operation, that's exactly what every Democrat politician and media organ will shout. They'll shout, Donald Trump lost. If it's even close in any respect, they're all going to shout in unison, he lost, he cheated, or we've got more ballots coming in. He won't accept the results of the election. Those accusations, remember, even the preposterous ones, they reveal a lot about the Democrat Party itself and what they are guilty of. When we come back, we'll talk more about everybody's favorite subject, COVID-19. I think that every time I put on my headphones and listen to the top of the news, it's all things COVID. You would think, I turn on the BBC, I turn on Newsnight at the it's all things COVID. What are we at? This is day 176 of 15 days to stop the spread. 176 days. Well, we're not going to talk about it the way that the main networks do. We'll talk about the COVID coup when we return. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
The California curse continues. The New York Post says a record 2 million acres burned in these devastating wildfires. They've had a hot, dry summer, and now it is a danger zone in California. Curses on top of curses. It says in the New York Post, after a typically dry summer, California is parched, heading into fall, and what normally is the most dangerous time for wildfires. Two of the three largest fires in state history are burning in the San Francisco Bay Area. More than 1,400 firefighters are battling those fires and dozens of others around California. 14,000 firefighters battling those blazes. this has become almost routine. You've got that. You've got threats of floods and hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico region. But returning to this 15 days to stop the spread, here we are on day 176. 176 days into it. And judging by some of the clips you see online, law enforcement officials around the world, some of them are proven to be quite skillful in wrestling maskless citizens to the ground, forcing masks upon them, even arresting them, arresting pregnant women for a Facebook post about a protest against the lockdown that happened in Melbourne over the weekend. Lots of tussles between those that weren't wearing masks and the police. Sometimes it doesn't even take the police to enforce this. Some very health-conscious citizens have even taken matters into their own hands, punching wide-open faces for not wearing masks. You've got to stop the spread. You've got people without a mask being punched in the face. It seems like that would be some kind of COVID-19 violation, knocking someone in the chops. You see more and more video images of that. This is from the New York Post. Here are some facts. If anyone's interested, you wish some of the top of the news stories, whether on the top of the hour on this station or at the BBC, that they just report some facts that would put it in a balanced perspective. Here's the New York Post. We've never before responded to a contagion by closing down whole countries. As I've noted, listen to this. The 1957 Asian flu killed between 70 and 116,000 Americans, between 0.04% and 0.07% of the nation's population. That was in 1957. The Post says the 1968 to 70 Hong Kong flu killed about 100,000. That would be 0.05% of the population. All right, so there you have some comparisons. It says the U.S. coronavirus death toll of 186,000 is 0.055% of the current population. In other words, it's exactly the same, right now anyway, as the Hong Kong flu and as the Asian flu from the 50s and 60s. That's right. Except that when I say exactly the same, nothing was shut down in 1957 or 1968. Nothing. 0.055%. It says here it will go higher, but it's about the same magnitude as those two flus, and it's been less deadly to those under 65 than the flus were. I mean, those flus in the 50s and 60s, they killed more young people. This one doesn't even threaten young people. Yet we've got to clamp down on the schools. Or if the schools do reopen, like here in the UK, they've got to wear masks and stay away from people. These little kids go to school and they've got to stay away from other little kids and they've got to wear a mask all day long, inhaling what they've just exhaled. It says here it will go higher, but it's about the same magnitude as those two flus, and it has been less deadly to those under 65 than the flus were. Yet there were no statewide lockdowns, no massive school closings, no closings of office buildings and factories, restaurants and museums. No one considered shutting down Woodstock. Why are attitudes so different today? Well, that's a good question. If it's the same as those flus in 1957 and 1968, why is it so different today? Well, for one, as we've noted on this program, this represents an opportunity for the radical left to grab power, and that's what they're doing in Victoria and elsewhere. A naked power grab. And of course, in the United States, the power grab there, particularly in the blue states, it coincides with this ongoing coup to bring down President Trump. They're using it. They're politicizing it. Desperate, as I've said. Desperate for this to carry on, this pandemic, this scaremongering. even as all the graphs, as the president said over the weekend, we've seen a dramatic decline. And what does the news media say? Oh, he's lying again. That's 20,001. He has lied 20,001 times now. Add this to the list. Here's what Tucker Carlson said on his program last night. He's talking here about COVID and how politicians have used this lockdown in particular, clip four.
Once you give politicians power, they don't relinquish it. Why would they? For mediocre people like Eric Garcetti and Lori Lightfoot, people who could never find a job outside of, say, corporate HR department where the standards are very low, this was profoundly empowering. They loved it. The problem was it crushed the country. It crushed people, Americans, measurably. Divorce rates, for example, soared by 34%. At one point, newlywed separations doubled. Domestic violence and fatal overdoses increased dramatically. It may be a long time before we know how dramatically, but it's clear. Many people died as a result of this, and many more thought about killing themselves. According to CDC numbers, a quarter of all young adults contemplated suicide during the pandemic. Ultimately, the only group that found the coronavirus to be empowering were people who were trying to win a presidential campaign and trying to regain control of the Senate and the White House.
Notice that last statement in particular. Ultimately, the only group that found this virus, the pandemic, empowering were the people trying to win the presidential campaign and to take back the Senate. In other words, these are Democrats using a pandemic that's no worse than the flu of 1957 or 1968. It's roughly the same. It's certainly not as bad as the Spanish flu of 1918. That was far worse than anything we've seen since. But when he said that, or when I saw that clip, Tucker's clip, it made me think of Trish Regan. Some of you will remember this. Some of you will remember these programs that we produced in mid-March, all the way through to mid-April, when in a lot of ways this program stood alone. Trish Regan got up early on. I think this would have been when CNN declared it to be a pandemic. They were first, right? And then the WHO, they come along a couple days later. Then 2 days after that, it's the national emergency. And then over the weekend, Neil Ferguson and his friends, I mean, they are advising the government here in the UK and by extension, the government in the United States, Fauci and friends. And then we went into the 15 days to stop the spread, which is now 176 days, but leave that aside. All of this back in mid-March. And remember what Trish Regan said on March 9th? This would have been Monday, March 9th, just in the very early, early stages of the hysteria that would soon follow. Clip 5.
The chorus of hate being leveled at the president is nearing a crescendo as Democrats blame him and only him for a virus that originated halfway around the world. This is yet another attempt to impeach the president. And sadly, it seems they care very little for any of the destruction they are leaving in their wake. Losses in the stock market. All this, unfortunately, just part of the political casualties.
That's Trish Regan on March 9th, talking about Democrats blaming Donald Trump for the virus. All right. And then all the destruction left in their wake. She was saying this before the lockdown was imposed. And then you get the update 6 months later from Tucker Carlson. It's obvious, and it's not even controversial, certainly not to the Fox audience. But did you know Trish Regan was fired from Fox Business? She was fired after that monologue she gave there. Fox came under so much pressure. Well, She was saying this is an attempt to impeach the president. This is actually being used to attack the president. So she was removed. She was fired. And now you look at what she says 6 months later. Well, I wonder if she'll get an apology from Fox. Not a chance. She stood alone back then, and she paid the price. She was off the air within moments of that monologue, saying that these radical leftists were using the virus, blaming it, something that came all the way from China, blaming it on Donald Trump. And then what they've done to destroy the economy. How did Tucker Carlson put it? The problem is, it crushed the country. Now we're at day 176. So you go back to those early programs for this show, I mean. And thankfully, we weren't on Fox Business. Thankfully, we weren't on Fox News. Thankfully, we don't have advertisers. We're not beholden to advertisers at the Trumpet.com website on this program. Now, the Key of David, you know, we've got station managers that come after us sometimes and say, we don't like this. We want you to change this. And if it gets to a point where, you know, we can't work with it, then we move on to some other station. And that's happened. That's happened often over the years. But at least for now, God's given us an open door to proclaim the truth in a world full of deception and lies, in a world full of wickedness and deceit. This New York Post article, this one that dropped a truth bomb on the media. It should have been. You would think they'd be headlining this. Well, let's look at the flu from 1957. Okay, here's the figures. Let's look at the flu in 1968. Look at the way we responded to the... And then today, what have we done? We have crushed the country. We have crushed the economy. You say something like that in the middle of March, you're gone. You're gone. The pressure was so intense. The pressure so intense, the deception so thick, it just covered the earth. Everyone was going along. Everyone said, this is what we have to do. Everyone said, this is the worst disease we've ever seen, worse than the Spanish flu. This is going to kill millions of people. Millions of people in the United States. The New York Post says, the exaggerated projections of some epidemiologists with a professional interest in forecasting pandemics triggered demands that governments act. The original purpose, to flatten the curve, segued into stamp out the virus. So that's why we hear all about infections now. I saw a headline today from Haaretz. Oh, Israel has had more infections yesterday than they've had through the whole pandemic. You know how many people have died in Israel over the course of this 6, 7 month, 8 month pandemic? Just a little over 1,000. I can remember when Bibi Netanyahu was saying it was going to be 10,000, I think, in a month. We've given you some of those stories on this show. Everybody was on board with it. The experts, the politicians, everyone. Well, some are coming around to seeing just how disastrous this has been. The New York Post article, by the way, it's titled, "It's Now Looking Like the Lockdowns May Have Been a Huge Mistake." Well, 6 months on, and the New York Post is right. We were right in mid-March. A huge mistake. And that's what Tucker Carlson was pointing out last night. Crush the country. An approach that goes from flattening the curve to stamping out the virus. We've got to continue on until every single person on earth is not infected with this. Even though 99 point whatever percent of the people that get this, for them, it's like an ordinary flu or even less than that. Not even noticeable. Of course it's been serious for those that have died from it. Of course, it's serious for those that have comorbidities. No one questions that. No one's doubting that. No one would have doubted that with the Wuhan flu, or sorry, the Asian flu and the Hong Kong flu. But you compare the two, like this Post story brings out, and this one is not near as dangerous for the group that we should be most protective of. Children. Children, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. It says here, the lockdowns also prevented cancer screenings, heart attack treatment, and substance abuse counseling, the absence of which resulted in a large but hard-to-estimate number of deaths. Well, we'll find out later. We'll find out later. We'll find out maybe a year from now. We'll find out how many people suffered because they didn't get their cancer screenings or they didn't get their substance abuse counseling. And it may be in the tens of thousands, but look. Look, don't worry about that now. We have got to stamp out the virus. We have got to eliminate this virus entirely. Never mind the side effects. Never mind that the cure is worse than the disease. It says here, finally, for many, the economic damage has been of Great Depression proportions. Does this matter? Do we even care? Restaurants and small businesses have been closed forever, even before the last 3 months of the mostly peaceful urban rioting. It has mostly peaceful in quotes, by the way. Losses have been concentrated on those with low income and little wealth, while lockdowns have added tens of billions of dollars to the net worth of Amazon's Jeff Bezos and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. So they're raking it in. But the ordinary Americans, you know, the ones that can't go to salons, they're suffering. They're struggling. The elites, they're doing fine. Chris Cuomo, he's doing great. Politicians, they still have jobs, even though they don't have to go into Congress. Got to stay out of the building because of the COVID, right? All these politicians staying at home, they're still getting their checks. All those law enforcement officials in Victoria, they're still getting paid. The people protesting, though, the ones that want their jobs back, their livelihoods back, they're the ones penalized. What does your Bible say about the governments of this world and the inability to solve the problems of this world? The whole world deceived, and so much of it comes down to faulty, selfish, vain, arrogant human government. As I said last week, this world needs, desperately needs, new leadership. It needs a God family that's concerned about the good and the welfare of other human beings. That time is coming, and it's coming soon. So many of these prophecies, as I say, they culminate in the greatest event in the history of the universe. A few emails here to conclude with, this in response to Andrew Loker's message yesterday. It says, thanks, Mr. Loker. I liked the glimpse of future living you gave, figs and all. So that was on yesterday's show, posted right now at the trumpet.com website. Another one here says, you should start a weekly newspaper in shops as people are real thirsty for facts, truth, and God right now. Another one says, in response to our YouTube stream, I love this guy. Speaks the truth and is entertaining. I don't think we've ever gotten one on how entertaining the show is. That's good to know. One here says, I think you're the most truthful on the web. Keep speaking before they shut you up. Another one writes, almost time to sign off here. Boy, the fastest hour. I notice when I read my Bible how fast time goes by, even with time spent with him. Can't wait until the eternal clock starts where time won't run out to be with God. Thank you, Mr. Fleury and thetrumpet.com. Another one here says, glad to hear there's some decent law-abiding mayors, otherwise dismal listening. This is concerning last week's program, I think Friday, when we talked about some leaders that were actually upholding the rule of law in their cities. I saw another clip just today from the Detroit mayor saying that, you know, we'll allow the protesting. That's your constitutional right. But if it turns violent, we will intervene to stop it. And good for him. Another one here says, a house divided against itself will surely fall. That's exactly what the radical left wants. This one says, great show. Amen. Do you have any associated churches in or nearby the Sullivan County, New York area? And we did send a message to that particular listener. Another one here says, with everything on my Facebook page, well, don't understand that one. This one here says, 2020 looks like the year where the post-World War II era comes to an end. Coming events will be dramatic beyond belief. And then finally here it says, really enjoyed this show. Keep up the good work. So if you'd like to send in some feedback, hopefully later this week we can get to more of your comments. You can send us messages at td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.